I feel like preaching down here today. Is that okay? Can you see me? I like it when we're sitting together. It's very, very cozy. I used to not like preaching downstairs in the fellowship hall or over in the Smile Con, but I realized, wow, we're all close together. Feels like, you know, everything's full. It's nice. So anyway, I'll go ahead and turn your Bibles. You've been there already to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And as Jim mentioned, it's the scripture for this year. Pastor Hiroshi chose this scripture as our scripture theme, our theme scripture for the year. It's kind of long, so Peter, good luck trying to put that on the front page. Less graphic, more text, maybe, but that's okay. And this theme for us is going to be to shine like stars. But I'd like for us first to read the text. I have it up there, but if you've brought your own Bible, I want to encourage you to open up in your own Bible there. I'm going to be referencing to lots of different scriptures, and it's good that you would write your notes in your own Bible, or underlines and things like that. So if you're there, if you're at Philippians chapter 2, say amen. Oh, Genki. All right, let's read it together. Shall we begin? Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Amen. Hiroshi chose this scripture as our theme scripture, highlighting, if you look downstairs in the lobby, there's the highlighted part is, in which you shine like stars in the universe. And so that is our theme scripture. He's going to be preaching from the writings of Paul. The book of Philippians is a letter from the Apostle Paul, the man Paolo is named after, I think. And he will be going out throughout this whole year throughout those writings. There's a lot of writings, so there's lots of material to preach on. As a balance, we, through my preaching throughout this year, will be studying the writings of Moses and studying his life. We'll be doing a character study. There's many kinds of different ways to study the Bible. You can study just by reading it through and reading the text itself. You can study it by, you can look at the words, love, and you can look at every place that love is written in the Bible and study the word love. That's called a word study. And you can also do what's called a character study. That's what Hiroshi will be doing this year, is he'll be studying the character of Paul throughout this year. And so what we will be doing this year is studying the character of Moses. And so we'll be doing that. I look forward to that throughout this year. But before that, I wanted to just share my thoughts and some meditations on the theme verse of this year, which is to shine like stars in the universe. We are called to shine. That is who we should be according to this scripture, in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, Jesus, in John chapter 8, he says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, the light of the world. When you look up at the sky at night and there's the darkness, but throughout the darkness you see the stars that light that darkness. In the same way, God should look down on earth, down on Hiroshima, and see his people being lights amongst the darkness of creation. We are to shine like stars. Why? Because we have the light of the world in us. If you are a believer, and I think that's pretty much everybody here, if you follow Jesus Christ, you have the light of life living inside you. You have the Spirit of the living God. You have no reason not to be shining. Oh, but it's difficult. You don't know the problems I have. You don't know the hardship I have to face every day in my workplace, with my family, this coworker, this spouse. Oh, the troubles I have to go through. If that's the case, please be reminded of what you have living inside of you. Please be reminded of the God who has taken you out of the mire and put your feet on the rock of salvation and allowed you to stand without falling. Please be reminded of the God who has taken the darkness from inside of you and wiped it away through the blood of Jesus Christ, and in that place put himself. There is no darkness, there is no valley, there is no hardship, there is no persecution that we cannot endure or overcome, because we have the light of the world. And not only do we have it, we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I really want us, and I think Hiroshi has called us as by making this our theme verse, to be a light in this city. I believe God is going to do even greater things with us and in us through this church this year. I'm so happy to see Kit here. You don't know her, but Jim and I know her. She was one of the five people that I saw here on my first day. I came here 7 years ago, and it was Hiroshi playing the guitar, Jim sitting in the front row, Pastor Kevin sitting in the second row, and just a few other people, and Kit was one of them. And we used to meet downstairs, and it wasn't at different tables. We all sat around that one round table. Do you remember that? And it, maybe if it was 10, that was a big day for us. And we would just all sit there around this one round table. And I remember being there and thinking, Lord, this is cool. This is great. You know, I've been to a church, you know, I've been to churches in the States with thousands of people. My home church is hundreds of people, you know, and we have 10 people here who love the Lord and want to just sit around a table and have coffee. And it's great, you know. That's church for me. And so that's great. And since Kit has gone, we've seen great things that God has done throughout this church. After Kit left, about a couple of years later, the Lord just did amazing things in terms of not just bringing more people, but really when he brought people who could minister, who had faith, who wanted to pray, who wanted their lives to change. He brought people out from depression. He was bringing people out from, you know, just people searching for truth. Lots of you here who are still here remember those 2 or 3 or 4 years ago when you first showed up, and it was just amazing in this church, and we felt like, oh God, you're doing such great things. And every Sunday I remember, oh man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do this Sunday. I can't wait to hear the testimonies that's going to happen this Sunday. And we would pray. My friends Tony and James, we'd meet at my apartment on Saturday night. We'd pray, wake up Sunday morning, and we'd pray some more. Lord, do awesome things at Mitake. That was 3-4 years ago. And that was a big time and a great time. I look back on that, and I think, oh, I wish Kit were still here. You know, she'd be, you know, rocking on with us. But you know what? I don't believe those were our best times for this congregation, for this church. I don't believe that I need to go back to those times, because I believe that our best times are yet to come. I believe that whether it's going to be this year or the next coming year, whatever, God has more for us than that time. And the only people, the only thing that's going to stand in the way of God doing even greater things in this church is us. Are we going to shine our light in this world? Are we going to be the place where people can come and feel and know, wow, this place is full of the light of heaven, the light of the world? Are we going to be that? God has called us to shine our light. But how? How are we to be different? What, in what way do we shine? Is it in our actions? Is it by doing good things? Let me tell you, it's not what the Bible says. Not in this scripture. Because lots of non-Christians do good things. Is it in the money that we give? Not in this scripture. It doesn't say that. Because lots of non-Christians give lots of time, lots of money to good things. Is it in the songs or the music that we sing? I don't think so. Because there's lots of gospel choirs out there who have no idea who Jesus is, though they sing about him every day or every week. What this scripture is telling us is that if we want to shine, if we want to be different, if we are going to be reflecting God's glory, if we are going to show the light of heaven, it's not so much in what we give or what we sing. It's not in what we do. But it's in what we don't say. It's what we do not say. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you will shine like stars in the universe. What will differentiate us and separate us from all other good things that are happening outside this church is what does not come out of our mouth. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? Why not complaining? Why not arguing? What is it that makes complaining and arguing so bad that it ruins the light that we were going to shine? What's wrong with complaining and arguing? What's wrong with getting it off of our chest? What's wrong with voicing our opinion or speaking the truth? What's wrong with that? Well, the word complaining here in the Greek, it's actually a word that just means brr, 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 brr. It's gugusmus. And you can actually translate it in English as murmur. And murmur comes from it's not a word, it's just a sound. What complaining is you can complain in any language. See, complaining is not just something that Americans do so well, or Filipinos, or Latinos, but also Japanese do it really well too. When I first came to Japan, I just thought, wow, this is such a polite, nice, kind culture. Everybody is so kind. You walk into the convenience store. Even the city hall, the old men, you know, they're nice to you. And I thought, wow, is this heaven? You know, is everybody here Christian? And I thought, what can I do as a Christian? How can I be as a Christian in this society and be different? How do I shine my light when everybody else is a lot nicer than I am? How do I do that? And after 7 years of living here and working here, I realized there is something. And that is by not complaining and not arguing, because everybody complains. Everybody argues. It doesn't matter what language, what culture, what country you're from. And Paul says, if we're going to shine, we don't need to complain. We don't need to argue. And I was going to spend a lot of time on what that is, what's complaining, what's arguing. You know what it is. Don't do it. Just don't do it. The number one rule I'm going to just give on that is, what says there? James, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Why is complaining so bad? Why will it hinder us? God hates it. God hates complaining so much. There was a time before Israel was Israel, the country. They were looking for a land. And they sent 12 people to spy on the land, to look on the land they were going to attack. And those 12 men came back and they reported, Moses, Aaron, we cannot attack this land. It's filled with giants. It's filled with men who are twice as big as we are. There is no way we can conquer this land and take it. Except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. They said, no, no, no. Look, God is our God. God sent us to this land. If God is with us, we can take this land. But the voice of the 10 said, we can't, we can't. We're too small, we're too weak, we're too few. And those 10 voices started to spread throughout the people of Israel. And the people of Israel started to believe it. Because complaining spreads. And so we find in Numbers chapter 14, it says, all the Israelites grumbled. And that same word is used in today's scripture. Grumbled, complained. Grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said of them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall and sword? Or why is it children would take us? That's what they were doing. It was out loud, but really it was what's happening inside, because that's what complaining is. It's coming out, it's bringing out that ugliness, that lack of faith that's inside of us. That's what complaining is. It shows you what little faith you have. When you complain, it means you're saying to the person you're complaining to, you know what? Your wisdom and your judgment in this situation is not good. I don't trust you. And when you don't have trust, it means you don't have faith. And when we complain, we're telling God, I don't trust your wisdom, your judgment in this situation. And so God, in his righteousness, he said, if you don't have faith, if you don't believe that you're strong enough to enter into this land, fine. You're not going to enter this land. And you could read on in Numbers 14. He didn't allow everybody in that generation to enter into the land, only Caleb and Joshua, because of the complaining. And I'm saying to us today, I believe our church's best times are ahead of us. I believe God is going to bring us into a new place this year. for us to shine in ways we've never shined before through this church. But what will hinder us from seeing that great work that God will do here is a heart, is an attitude, is words that blah, 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 show that we have no faith. And it may be that we don't do things the way you used to do it at your home church here. And it may be that my preaching or Kevin's preaching or Hiroshi's preaching isn't that great, or it's difficult to understand. Or it may be that our songs are old and we use them all again and again. We're singing the same song. It may be we don't have a good worship. It may be whatever. But what is our attitude towards that? Is it a complaining, murmuring attitude? Or is it a thankful, gracious, faithful, hopeful attitude? What is the solution to complaining and arguing? Scripture. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Complaining is one way communication. Complaining is I'm going to complain and share what I've got on my heart, on my mind. Blah. Arguing is that two-way, back and forth. Let's fight. Let's talk it out. But what's the difference between arguing and having a discussion? I mean, if we can't argue, that means we can't talk, we can't discuss. No. Arguing and having a discussion are two different things. And you probably know more about it than I do, but real quickly, you know, arguing is that place where your mind is not in the mood to rationally, calmly, relaxed to talk things out. Some of you in here are like me, very slow-witted, not very good at arguing. When somebody argues with you, you don't know what to say. It doesn't come to you quickly. While others of us in here, we're very good at arguing. Words are like games to us, and we like to just play games with words. And it's easy to come up with easy things to argue with, or have the last word, or take the meaning of the word and turn it. And so we come up with attitudes that will, you know, I'm ready to fight, I'm ready to do this. Let's argue. But then there's discussion, which is, let's calm down, let's take a moment, let's take a break, and let's talk at a different time when we're both calm, relaxed, and it's not in public or whatever. That's discussion. But arguing and complaining is what will hinder us as a church, as a body of believers, I believe, from shining. And finally, the solution to complaining and arguing, I think, is what Paul says in two chapters later. He says, finally, instead of having this attitude in your heart and in your mind, instead, fill your mind with those good things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things. Anything you've seen me do, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The last point I want to make about this verse is that this is in the context of ministry. If you look, it says, as you hold out the word of life. Basically, that means as you talk about you being a Christian, as you do your ministry in the church, as we do our mountain worship, as we have our Bible studies, as we have our prayer meetings, as we do our trips to Habitat for Humanity, those things that we do to minister to each other or as a mission to the world. And when we work in the context of Christians, that's where God doesn't want us to complain or argue. When we're at work, when we're at home or in a non-Christian environment, There will be arguing, there will be complaining. And we should be different in that we don't argue and we don't complain. That's one thing that should separate us from that. But more so, when we are working together, doing ministry together, all the more there should be no complaining and no arguing. But only that which will build up and benefit those who listen. There was a little girl about 7 years old, and she was lost. She was out in the middle of the city, and she couldn't find her way home. She didn't know where she was. So she went to the police station, and she said, "I don't know where my house is. I don't know my address, but I know I live in this neighborhood," the name of the neighborhood. So she told the police, "I live in this neighborhood. I don't know where it is from here, but can you take me there?" So the police said, "Okay." And the police put her in the car, and they drove to the little girl's neighborhood. They're driving around looking for the girl's house. And finally the girl says, "Stop, stop, 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 stop. That's my church. That's my church. I go there every week." And so the police say, what do you want us to do?" She says, "Just drop me off here at this church, because I know how to find my way home from the church. From this church, I can find my way back home. And I believe that's what God is calling our church to do and to be, is a place where people can come and say, 'Yeah, I can find my way home when I come to this church.' To shine like stars in the universe." That is our prayer. That is my prayer. And that is my hope for this year and for the next years to come. And whether you stay or whether you go, I believe we're still going to see good things and greater things as God works in and through us to shine. Amen.